Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast again today. We are blessed every single time you join us, and we pray that you'll be blessed beyond measure today. Today, I have a very special guest for you. Antonio Smith Jr. is, how can I say this and communicate the awesomeness of how great God is? Antonio Smith started off his young childhood by being placed in child protective services at age six. Failed fifth grade, failed sixth grade. In high school, he was mentored by someone who's seen his potential. Now, I'm not going to get into the story because I can't do it justice. I'll let him share it. It is God-inspiring, awesome testimony. And to go from humble beginnings to what he does today and working in the ministry, and he is awesome. You are going to enjoy this. Today, he runs the organization, the Antonio Smith Jr. Companies, that specializes in connecting those who are separated from the church back to the church. He also helps them to experience financial freedom. He also helps folks to develop high self-esteem. He also helps people in personal development. And he is here and able to help you if you'll let him. I am so blessed to have Antonio on the program today. Help me welcome to the program, the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast, Antonio Smith Jr. Tony, thank
Holy
you so much.
Holy moly, man, that was great. I felt like I had 50 people that you were talking about. That was amazing.
Man, I thank you for taking the time. You are so busy, and I thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to join us today.
Man, I appreciate it. I heard so much about this podcast / radio evolution you got going on here. I told my publicist to reach out, and I have to be on this show. I said, I have to be on it. Do whatever you got to do. Take no for an answer. Drive out, fly out, do whatever you have to do. I have to be on here. So I'm so grateful to be here.
Oh, bless God. I give God all the praise for it. And I thank God for him connecting us. Amen.
Now, yes,
Tony, I could not do your background justice, so this will flow right into the first question. And the first question I always ask right out the gate for every guest is this. Tell us, in your own words, who is Antonio Smith Jr.?
Yeah, I was obviously born in 1981, and by six, my parents could not legally afford to keep me, could not physically or financially afford to keep me. They actually got on drugs and crack cocaine, and then I found myself in a trash can. I went to CPS custody, and then I ran from CPS custody just because I was just a kid, and I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
And then for 6 to 14, about 90% of that time, I lived in a trash can. I found solace in that trash can. I was hungry in that trash can. I had to put myself through school in that trash can. I got arrested in that trash can, this city dumpster. But you know what? I got out that trash can.
Amen.
And it reminds me of this book called Peaks and Valleys by Spencer Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer Johnson talks about this little kid who wants to get to the mountain. But he makes a mistake, and he talks to his valley friends and his valley parents. And they tell him how he can't get to the mountaintop, although they've never been to it themselves. And one day he just decides, you know, I'm just going to jump to this mountaintop anyway. And he bruises his hand, breaks his knuckles, all sorts of stuff. And when he sees a trail, he no longer sees a trail no more. And then he looks down and sees how messed up the air was in this valley. And he says, you know what? I'm going to make it anyway. So he blazes his own trail. He gets to the top of the mountain and he screams out joyous, and he meets this guy on the top of the mountain that keeps him on the top of the mountain. And that's kind of what I do today.
Yeah. Amen.
I teach people how to get out their trash cans and how to get to the top of the mountains of their lives. I'm fortunate. Next month, I'll be honored top 101 leaders in the world in Mumbai on one of the world's
Praise
biggest stages.
God.
Yes, yes. I've created 8 millionaires to date. I'm fortunate enough to have well over $1 million net worth myself. And I love God. I do my very best to serve and wash feet and get as many people out of poverty as I can. That's me in a nutshell.
Hey, man. Glory to God. How long have you been operating your company?
I've been operating my company since 2009. Wow. And it's changed a few times. It's changed names.
Okay.
I've been operating this company in its stead since about 2012. And the funny thing is, it happened at Lakewood Church with Joel Osteen.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yes, I did a 2-year internship with Lakewood Church with Joel Osteen starting in 2012. And I had some gifts. I didn't know that I think differently because I've thought myself my whole life, right? So it's not different to me. It's normal to me.
It's
right?
Normal, yeah.
Exactly. So he has me fix some of his ministries. And I go, wow, I can really do this. I'm just 40,000 member church in present, much more online.
Yeah.
And I'm pastoring 20,000 people and fixing ministries. And I go, wow, I think I could do this for a living. You know what? That's what I did.
Wow.
That's what I did. Yeah, so I switched the focus of the company from real estate to helping businesses that are thriving but have these small adjustment areas. And if they can fix these areas, then they can go even further and faster. And then I turned around and I made that to individuals as well.
Amen. Yeah, because sometimes, while you're what I call it, you can't see the forest for the trees. You're looking at the problem right in front of you. And someone, it just takes one minor adjustment and all of a sudden, boom, you're off and running.
That's it.
And you can't see it because you're so deeply involved. From a military background, I talk about instead of managing the battle, you're managing a firefight.
Let
the troops on the ground handle the firefight. You need to maneuver the big picture, and ultimately you'll win the battle. But
that's
amen. So to get started in this business, okay, I understand about Joel Osteen and the internship and all that, but how did you decide upon helping the level C executives, and how did you focus on that?
That's an easy question and a hard question at the same time, and I'm glad you asked that. No one has ever asked me that before. Mm. I've been in poverty my whole life. Actually, I don't even consider, although I am American, America is not really my country. Poverty is, because there's two different Americas. There's an America that we know and love, and then there's an America that has no running water, no electricity. Yeah. And I come from there. Mm. And I had to graduate out of CPS custody at 18. I legally got adopted at 14. Some crazy people, take this 14-year-old grown man and decide to help him. And I'm so glad they did, because that's the first time I was ever introduced to Christ, ever. Mm. I had no conceptual understanding of God or Christ. And they adopted me and it took me to church. And of course, I raised hell in the church. I definitely did that. I promise you that. But
you mean you weren't a choir boy?
Oh, not at all. I'm still not a choir boy. Not at all. In fact, I call myself a beer drinking Christian, if anything. Definitely. Yeah, amen. Definitely. Amen. But yeah, I'm as normal, as balanced as any of them. I just believe in more grace than truth. And that's how I got started. I was in poverty for so long that I wanted to help people get out of poverty, because I've been in business since 1997. That puts me at 14 years old. But it wasn't business. I had to eat.
Yeah.
Right? I had to eat. And it was just, smart for me, but it was, business for the world. And so I wanted to help people. But then here's what happened. I'm helping people, and I wasn't helping C-level executives because I never felt the confidence to do so. And then I enrolled into Houston Baptist University in 2011. And I eventually got my bachelor's and my master's from Houston Baptist University. But the whole time, in fact, inside my class ring, I have to write inside my class ring, "You belong, Tony," because I never felt like I belong. Mm. It's a predominantly white school. All these people are driving BMWs. And here I am, this kid from the hood. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm pretending, to belong. And then it hit me. You know what? No one had to do what I had to do to get here. Mm. Yeah. No one had to be raped. No one had to be molested. No one had to go to jail for truancy, which is missing school because you're homeless. No one had to have two drug addicted parents. No one had to live in a trash can. I'm the strongest person in the room.
Amen. Yeah.
And that is what made me start reaching out to C-level executives, that attitude, when I finally realized I do belong and I have experience that can help anybody on any level.
Yeah, amen. For our listeners, define what C-level executive means.
Oh, yeah. Not only CEOs, CFOs, chief intelligence officers, operating officers, chief programming officers at the very tippity top, board members.
Yep.
I give you a few examples. I've done some work with NASA. I've done Les Brown, the great motivational speaker, Les Brown. I'm COO of his entire legacy side of his company. Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
Hey, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've done work with Joel Osteen and Lakewood Church, all sorts of stuff. It's so many different people. Yeah. So that's C-level.
The C stands for chief. You got a chief on your name, then you know Tony's the guy for the job.
That's me. That's me. Definitely.
Amen. Glory God. So I understand the background, you know, and you know, having you started off by having to feed yourself, and that started the business venture for that.
Yep.
But what ignited the fire that, you know what? They need what I have. What ignited that fire inside of you?
You know, I have this insane confidence that it's just it won't quench. It's not arrogance. If it is an insane amount of confidence. And what ignited that fire, it was already there. When I used to hurt myself as a kid, I used to twist my ankle because I'm 54 pounds climbing into this 6-foot dumpster. Yeah. You know, back then they had the one, they just got the holes on the sides that you can slide the door from left to right. And I was jumping up there, and I would hurt myself. And then this is the crazy thing that I would do. I would hurt myself, and wherever I hurt myself, I would hit it as hard as I can. So if I shin my shin, if I skin my shin or my ankle, I would stump my ankle as hard as I can, and then I would say this idiotic thing. Now, it can't hurt worse than that. So stop complaining, right?
It's like have a headache, bang your head against the wall.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm doing this at 10 years old. But it was the confidence to know, okay, you're in pain. Now, hit it even harder. Now, it can't hurt worse than that. Stop complaining and think your way out of it. And that's it. I've always had that confidence to do that. I'm sure a bit of it's nature, but a bunch of it is nurture. When you're 6 years old having to protect your food, and by food, I mean Doritos.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not eating filet mignon. I'm hustling for a dollar and getting four bags of chips at the time. You can't do that anymore. You know, right? Yeah. You can't, they don't sell them like that anymore. Yeah. You know, getting four bags of chips for a dollar, and I got to protect it and then fight off people older than me. So, man, my confidence came a long time ago.
Amen. Amen. Now, I understand from reviewing your website about your desire to help others. And
you know,
just for the record, I think you're doing an awesome and needful work.
Oh, thank you very much.
When it comes to connecting people back to church who's left the church, I mean, isn't there a quote-unquote disconnect between those you try to reach and the church? How do you bridge that gap?
Yeah, that fantastic question. There is a disconnect, and I hate to tell your audience there, but the disconnect is your fault. It's our fault. The disconnect is on the church's fault.
Yeah,
it's not a disconnect from the unchurch's fault. They can't be at fault. It's our fault. As a matter of fact, the church has a habitual habit of standing on the wrong side of every issue since the history of mankind. We constantly stand on the wrong side. And the one I have three rules that I refuse to change for anybody. They are my core principles. They are almost my doctrine and my own, you know, my own doctrine. Rule number one, we are all connected. I don't care what anyone says. There's no difference between you and me. No difference your audience. We are all connected. We are all God living Himself out in whatever form that we are called, Tony, Ralph, James, doesn't matter. We're all connected. And since we are all connected, since we're all made in His image, there's more than enough.
Amen.
I refuse to change this. There's more than enough because if I have, so also do you. And this is how I bring people back to the church. The first way is, oh, I'm sorry. My third thing is more grace than truth, because fair stops ministry. Yeah. The moment you start being, and that's the problem with the church is too fair, and fair stops ministry. Mm-hmm. The moment you start being, like, Jesus was not fair. He walked over 1,500 lame people and healed one lame man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Preach it, brother.
Then, that's it. And then walk back over 1,500 more lame people and walk out.
Leave.
Of
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I approach people where they are. Listen, however you, drug dealer, C-level exec, doesn't matter. We're all connected. There's something in you. In my circumstances, I would have did the same thing you're doing if I had your life. Mm-hmm. And I meet people where they are, and I help convince them that, you know, there's more than enough, and somehow I bring them back to the church. I don't know how, but I've done 4 baby or infant baptisms, or not infant, but, you know, kids.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done maybe 100 adult baptisms.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And these are people who were in the church before and left. Well, not probably not every one of them, but a lot of them.
A lot of them, but they've never been baptized. They've never been, there's only on one case I have rebaptized someone, which is totally against, you know, all sources of Nicene Creed. But it was a special case. The guy was convinced that he was going to continue to sell drugs and continue to be a bad person unless I baptized him. And I was like, you know what? If that's your conviction and that's what you feel, I'm going to rebaptize you. And today, that guy's a preacher now.
Amen.
Yeah, he's actually a preacher.
he knew his true spiritual condition. You know?
That's it. That's Amen. It. Yeah, he's a preacher now.
I have a book coming out called The Samika of Jesus. And it goes through actually the cultural setting of raising, you know, what a Jewish boy be going through in the days of Jesus. Because we hear him, you know, from birth up to 2, then nothing till he's 12, and then nothing till he gets baptized, right? So I looked at it from a cultural, what would be happening in that time frame? And the point of the book, I'll just summarize it for you. The Sermon on the Mount, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, says, and the people were amazed. They said, he teaches one who has authority, not as the scribes teach. That word authority is translated as samika. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And samika is special permission to teach the scriptures in a way that you want, because every boy, Jewish boy, wanted to grow up to be a rabbi, right? And like, you know, we have boys grow up want to be NFL players and stuff like that now. Back in that day, every Jewish boy wanted to grow up to be a rabbi.
That's right. That's
and
right.
They had to qualify just to get into the school at age 6. They had to memorize the book of Leviticus.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you. I just failed kindergarten.
No, that's a boring book, too. That's for sure.
Oh, I think that's why they picked it. But anyway, at age 12, they had to prove they had memorized the first 5 books of the Torah. And that's what Jesus was doing at the temple. That's why it was important enough for them to put that back in the scripture. And then you get baptized into your rabbinical priesthood at age 30, and that's where we see Jesus down at the Jordan, right? So soulfully, that guy you were talking to, something inside told him, you need to be baptized to do the calling I got for you, you know? And maybe that's
absolutely,
you know, what the Lord is leading him to do, you know?
Yeah, man, absolutely. And the crazy thing is, I didn't mention it because I wasn't trying to look like it was me, but he's a preacher in my church.
Amen.
Yeah, he didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
He didn't want to leave. And you got to see, he's 6'7". He has these long dreads, tattoos all over his body.
Amen.
And he invites more people to church than anybody I've ever known.
Amen. I was going to say, I bet he reaches people that other pastors can't reach.
That's it. He's got a mouthful of gold teeth, the whole top row is gold and diamonds. And I'm telling you, this guy is on fire for the Lord. It's crazy.
Awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Tony, why do people leave the church to begin with?
Doesn't look like Christ. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the truth. We like to say as many things, but people, young people, old people, people who are hurt, we look at the church and we say that church doesn't look anything like the Christ you say you live like.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. It's a sad story, but it doesn't. We're you look at politics today, we try to legislate righteousness.
Yep.
You can't do that. You can't legislate righteousness. You can't tell women what to do. You can't tell gays what to do. You have to love people where they are. Loving Amen. Kindness leads to repentance,
yeah.
not legislation. None of us, not me, not you, have ever read the Bible and went, whew, I'm saved now. That's not the
right,
way it works.
Right.
You know, we didn't read that. I didn't read the Bible. Someone took me out of a trash can. And then I was bad. I was really, really bad. And they had to look beyond my badness and still say they loved me. And then that's when I went, you know what? Maybe this Jesus thing is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was loved to salvation, not corrected.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we do. Yeah, the church loves to correct people. And that's just not what Christ did.
Yeah. The correction part comes, that's like being the Pharisees. You know, we'll beat them 39 times. That'll teach them, you know.
I'm glad you said that because that's who Christ corrected.
That's
he
right.
corrected the yeah. church leaders. He corrected the Pharisees.
Yeah.
When it was just regular people, he talked in their regular language. Hey, you're a farmer. Guess what? I know a guy. He sold some seeds.
Yep. I love the story, you know, where they had the woman caught in adultery and brought
yeah.
him before Jesus. And, you know, they're saying, according to the law, you know, we need to stone her. What do you say? In other words, they brought him as the judge. They brought her before him as the judge. And as the judge, it is all in his authority. And the reason is, you know, and I go into all this in that book, you know, God is love. That was his, well, let me back up one real quick short note.
Yeah, because I'm Jesus, looking for your book online right now.
Okay, yeah, it's called, well, it's not. It's not online, so I'm writing it. But it's in the third edit right now. It should be published sometime this spring. But the track that a rabbi would be locked into, he could not teach anything except what his rabbi had taught him. So just like at college, you got accountants and lawyers and doctors. An accountant can't one day decide, you know, I got a PhD in accounting. I think I'm going to go down to the emergency room and do some heart surgery today. You know, it's not going to work. You can't do that, right? And it was the same thing with the rabbis. They all had a special track that they could teach related to the scriptures, and you were locked into that. And that track was called this should be an eye-opener if you haven't heard before, your yoke. That's what they called it, right? And Jesus had somika, which means he had permission to start his own yoke. And then what did he tell his disciples? He said, take my yoke upon you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the yoke of Jesus? God is love. The love of God. That's his yoke. So when they brought that woman before Jesus and threw her down at his feet, says, you know, Moses said stone her. We're bringing her to you to judge. What do you say? Because they were looking at a way to discredit him. You know, they thought they had a trap. If he said stone her, he goes, see, he doesn't walk in love.
Wow.
But if he said let her go, they could say, you know, he doesn't follow the law. You know, so they thought they had him trapped. But Jesus, you know, it doesn't say what he wrote on the ground in his finger. I think he wrote, somika, you know. But he said, well, you know, all right, you brought her to me to judge. Here's my judgment. The first one of you that's never committed any sin, you get to throw the first stone. And it says from the elders on down, they threw their stone. I could just see these old guys, daggummit, he did it again and walked away.
Yeah.
You know? And then the young guy's like, oh, man. And then they left. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? She goes, there's nobody here. There is none. And he said, well, you know, in order to condemn somebody to death, it takes two or three witnesses. And since there's no witnesses and they brought you to me as a judge, I hereby declare a mistrial. You are not guilty. Now go and don't do that no more.
That's it.
Fell in love with you and followed him the rest of his life. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, the short. I didn't mean to take over that, but
Someone needed to hear that. Someone needed to hear that. It's beautiful, man. Beautiful. Amen.
Hey, folks. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time with today's episode and our interview with Antonio Smith Jr. Oh man, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. Glory to God. I mean, just think of what he has done. He has defied the odds. He's defied, you know, everything that was stacked against him. And think about where he started at. Abused as a young child, basically abandoned as a child, put into child protective services at age 6. He failed 5th grade, 6th grade. He was, you know, basically on his own until a family adopted him. when he was in a teenage years, but a coach seen the potential and became his mentor. Oh, glory to God. And the best part is, not only is he a child of the Most High God, but he's also a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, it does not get any better than that. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, if you give your heart to Jesus, he can do anything, anything for anybody. Glory to God. And we're just getting started. I can guarantee you, well, this is a three-part interview with Antonio Smith. And we just went through part one, and it gets better and better and better. Amen. So be sure to come back tomorrow as we continue this interview with Antonio Smith Jr., because I can guarantee you he has a word in this interview for you. I mean, go to his website. His website is awesome. The information on his website is awesome. And just go over there, and he has free gifts. I mean, there is things going on. The show notes down below has links to all this. And come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.